What's up, sports fans? Happy Friday. We finally made it to the weekend, and it's WrestleMania weekend. Welcome to episode 5 of Sports Breakers. I'm one of your hosts, Juan, and I'm joined by Kevin.
Kevin. Yeah.
Jay.
How's it going?
How are you guys doing? Good week?
Good week.
Not a bad week at all.
That's good. And it's a good weekend outside. It's actually kind of nice here. I don't know about where you guys are.
Windy, but nice.
Same.
Windy, but nice. Man, it's finally the weekend we've all been waiting for. Not only is it Final Four in both the men's and the women's college basketball championship right now, but it's WrestleMania weekend. We got SmackDown here in about 45 minutes. We got the Hall of Fame here in about 2.5 hours. NXT tomorrow, night one tomorrow, night two on Sunday. Before we get into a segment and talk our top five, guys, I have a feeling like if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't be excited about this weekend. You guys have lived through more WrestleMania weekends than I have.
Well, you can thank Kevin for my liking wrestling.
Damn. So we get the full story today. How different is it from it is like now compared to like when you guys were, you know, mom, can we get the pay-per-view? Can we get the pay-per-view? Now, you know, it's just like a click of the button. How was it then for you guys?
Oh, we wasn't watching them on pay-per-view. For me, it was waiting until they came out on VHS tape and then watching them. I didn't have no money for pay-per-view.
No closed circuit? You guys didn't get to go to the theater?
Oh, hell no. They didn't have that in Oklahoma City.
No?
No. When I was younger, I happened to be lucky. My adoptive father was into it, so it was just always there. That was part of my life growing up when I was younger.
And now it's like
most of mine on VHS.
We'll get into the VHS copies for sure. Now it's just so easy. Like, this celebrated 10 years of the network. Now it's just like, you know, you pay the $10 a month, or now even Peacock, I think the cheapest is like $4.99 or $5.99. You just click at the remote. I hope that's something they don't change. But why don't you guys get into a little bit as far as like, what do you guys, you know, maybe some how things have evolved as far as like the weekend's gone.
It's more advanced to me, you know, more fans, a lot more events, and not just WWE, other independent circuits. It's growing. I mean, compared to what it used to be, it's a lot different.
Yeah, a buddy of mine, Sam Stackhouse, he's in Philadelphia right now wrestling on some indie shows. So that's what he's up there for. So it's like that. He said there's a WrestleCon up there, yep, which is where you get to go and meet all the peeps, different wrestlers. You got to pay to get pictures with them and shit.
Yep. I went to that a few years ago, and it's definitely a sight. You have to pay for your ticket to get into WrestleCon, and then once you're in it, you still have to pay to get your pictures and stuff.
See, a long time ago, it wasn't like that. You know, everything was like pretty much pre-recorded. You didn't get many live events in wrestling back in the day when I was growing up. So, I mean, WrestleMania was like the live event, you know, and it's not as big then as it is now.
See, back in the day, I sit there and think that the names on the card made WrestleMania, but we're now at the point where WrestleMania is the point. It doesn't matter who's on the cards. It's just WrestleMania now.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and tell you how I got started with watching wrestling. Kevin said his adopted father. Mine was Kevin. I came to stay the night at his house. He's like, you got to check out this fucking tape, man. It's got this wrestler called The Undertaker on it. I'm like, who? What the hell are you talking about, man? It was him versus Giant Gonzalez at WrestleMania 9. So we watched that match. It was 93. And I'm just like, that was pretty cool. And he's like, you got to see the champion, Bret Hart. I'm like, and then from that point on, Bret Hart was my favorite. I grew up in that era from 93 on.
You were a Bret Hart guy.
I was a Bret Hart guy, yes.
Man.
British Bulldogs.
So would that probably be your first WrestleMania then, Jay, like on tape was 9?
Yes. He ended up getting it from a friend of his that had got the pay-per-view and they recorded it. So he had the copy and he showed it to me. So I can thank Kevin for
that. Same for you, Kevin, or did you watch it a few years before?
I've been watching it probably since WrestleMania 3 that I could remember.
Nice.
So, I mean, yeah, I've been around and that's my thing. That was, I couldn't make anything. That's what I wanted to be at one time was a professional wrestler. I used to get made fun of, oh, you watch guys in tights do I don't care. It's fake. No, it's not. No, it's not.
Yeah. Pre-plan? Yes. Fake? No.
No.
I can thank Jerry, honestly, for my very first WrestleMania tape, and it was WrestleMania 14. Never forget it. When he handed me that pre-recorded VHS tape that had some other different things after WrestleMania was over, I can honestly say, like, it was like handing me a piece of gold. I sat there and I put it in. My eyes were all wide, and I was like, man. So, but let's not waste any more time. Let's talk.
So you got to see Shawn versus Stone Cold, huh?
I did. That was the first one. But I think I was more captivated by just, like, honestly being like
the atmosphere.
9, 10 years old, yeah. And then the Undertaker and Kane match.
Wow, that was a damn good match.
That was a damn good story.
I'm gonna go ahead and tell you now. One, I didn't do my homework. I didn't do the top five. There was too many WrestleManias to sit there and choose from, so I'm just going to kind of wing it.
Hey, you can call it right down the middle. You can be the referee between us two. But let's the top five theme is still movie themed, but let's get into our top five.
And
all right. Top five WrestleManias. Kevin, I'll let you go first, but if you have any honorable mentions before we talk about five, we can talk about an honorable mention. I know it gets laughed at as far as one of the worst WrestleMania stages and probably the longest WrestleMania ever, but it's only my honorable mention because I was there and the show started at 6 p.m. and it ended at like 12:30 at night, and that's WrestleMania 35. So if I had to say, that's probably my only honorable mention.
At least you've been to Mania.
So I was
my honorable mention, WrestleMania 2000.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
Four-way match.
Four-way match, you know, yeah. With those guys, Mick Foley, Mankind, whoever, you know, whatever you want to call them.
He was going by Mick Foley at that point.
Yeah. The Big Show in it, you know, that was kind of the oddball in that four-way.
It was called the McMahon in Every Corner match.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good match. You also had the 2 out of 3 falls triple threat match. Benoit, yep. Angle. Yeah, that was a good one. Yep. The first ever triangle ladder match for the tag belts.
Tag belts.
Yeah.
That was the Dudleys, Edge and Christian, and the Hardy Boys, if I'm not mistaken.
That was the second VHS tape Jay gave me for WrestleMania. So yeah, that was another one. That's a good one.
So that's my honorable mention on that one. So
you can lead it. Go ahead and lead into Gordon. Constantly. Go ahead and lead into five.
Five, Bret Hart, Yokozuna, WrestleMania 10.
Oof, WrestleMania 9. Oh, 10. You're thinking 10. Okay, they did wrestle at 10 as well. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the one after Hulk Hogan, you know, did his little thing.
Yeah. Sorry, you're not going to win tonight, brother.
Yeah. And then WrestleMania 15, Stone Cold's The Rock. You know, that's when those two set wrestling on fire for that Attitude Era, big time.
Oh, you're going, okay, we're going to go back and forth. My bad, Kevin, I probably should have explained. Number five for me, WrestleMania 32. Just,
Roman Reigns, Triple H.
Yep, just because I was there. I mean, the main event was kind of long, kind of lengthy, but I enjoyed everything before that. Ladder match where Zack Ryder won his Intercontinental belt, even though he only had it for a day. AJ Styles, WrestleMania Jericho debut. Yep. I wanted a little bit more out of the Lesnar Dean Ambrose match, but
Dean.
Yeah. probably the match of the night, though, for me was the women's triple threat match for the brand new women's title. That was probably the best match.
Wasn't that the main?
No, Reigns and Triple H were still the main event.
Okay. Yeah.
It was like a 40-minute match too. It was god awful. But yeah, that's my number five. Kevin, go ahead. You said number four was WrestleMania 15.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Austin versus Rock. Like I said, that was that transition to the Attitude Era. You know, it was already on its way, but that made two of those guys the mainstay stars. That match is even Limp Bizkit doing the intro to it, you know, just kind of set that on type of thing. Way. You know? Yeah. Because they were both faces. One of them both.
You talk about WrestleMania 17.
Is that 17?
Yeah, they did. The first one was at 15. That, yeah, 17 was good.
Yeah. Long time ago, though, where we're at now.
Go ahead.
For you, sir.
Four for me. WrestleMania 14. Again, it's one of those sentimental tapes in my heart. Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold. Kane, Undertaker. What else was on there? You had The Rock and Ken Shamrock. You had Owen Hart. Triple H was on there for the European belt.
Yeah, the European title.
Yeah.
China got involved.
Taco Michinoku versus an unnamed, not really. I can't remember his name. Something Aguilar for the light heavyweight Aguilar. Title.
Yeah, you're right. You're pretty close to being right. Yeah.
A fun match that I didn't really appreciate then as a little kid, but I appreciate now was the dumpster match for the tag belts.
Oh, that match was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cactus Jack and Chainsaw Charlie.
Terry Funk.
So that's number four for me. What about number three for you, sir?
Number three for me, I'd have to go old school again. It'd be seven. Hulk Hogan versus Sergeant Slaughter. Type of deal. Main event. And, you know, that was kind of when an American went towards the Iraqi side, you know, type of deal. Hogan's that red, white, and blue. You know, it just...
That's when they had to, weren't they supposed to do that in like the LA Coliseum, but they moved it to a smaller venue?
Yes.
They say it was because of security reasons, but the true answer is because they weren't selling enough tickets.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the truth. They said it was because of Sergeant Slaughter needing extra security so they couldn't be in an open arena, which is bullshit. But that's one of the first actual WWF tapes that I owned with the case and all. Was WrestleMania 7.
What else did you have on there? You had a... Wasn't that Taker's debut? No, that wasn't Taker's debut.
No, Taker's debut was 7. Yeah, it was 7. Taker's debut was 7. It was against Jimmy Snuka.
Yep. That's what his... we were just talking about, me and Jerry was... That was his entrance lasted longer than the match. That's how they presented him and how it puts it. Yeah. You know, it's hard to remember a lot of matches during that for me because there's so many. I think it's pretty sad I picked a few with Hogan in it, you know.
Are you not a Hogan fan?
Now, no. Then, yes, a little bit. I mean, because he was... You had two different guys at that time, Ric Flair which wasn't on a lot of pay-per-views, if he was, you know, different type of guy. When you, it was Hogan and Flair running those industries at that time, you know. And if you knew who Hulk Hogan was, you somewhat knew who Flair was, even though you didn't watch their program. You did, those two were just, at that time, in the 80s and early 90s, they set the standard for now. You know, like some of these wrestlers that do what they do. Hogan's just one of those, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, when everybody found out he was a big racist.
It's not only that. His in-ring performance wasn't as good as... When I was younger, I thought it was great. The older I got, it just, wow, you're pretty choppy. You're just big. Nobody's seen people big like that, you know.
Take a watch at his Japan stuff compared to his WWE stuff. It's night and day.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
You don't really get to see or notice how big he really is back in the day unless you, like, watch Rocky III. And you notice, like, how ginormous he is compared to an average-looking Sylvester Stallone.
So loud. Oh, yeah, he looks like, yeah. I just watched that movie, like, 2 weeks ago and seen that. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Me and Kevin got to see Hulk Hogan defeat Triple H at Backlash in 2002. We got to see Hogan win his final title.
Yep. Man, that was actually on your birthday. That was on your birthday.
Man, wasn't that the famous Kemp Arena?
Yep. A year later.
No, it was 3 years later because he died in 99.
So then you just got done talking about four, or was that three?
It was three.
My number three is WrestleMania 22. I think this was honestly, at least my time, that area was like probably one of the best ones I had seen in a while. 21, between 21 and 22, I think those are some good ones. I think 22 was Cena, Triple H in the Allstate Arena in Chicago. That's the last time WrestleMania was held in a smaller venue, if you don't count the pandemic.
Yeah, they went to the stadium shows.
Yeah, but I mean, you had 22. You had Edge and Mick Foley in the Extreme Rules match.
Where Foley gets taken through the table of fire.
Yep, you had Mickie James, Trish Stratus.
Oh, where Mickie gets in trouble and she licks her hand like she's licking some cooch.
Yep. You had the triple threat rap match where Rey Mysterio won the world title. Yeah. Undertaker, Mark Henry casket match.
I got to see a house show just not too long before, like about a month before that show. And everything that was on Mania was basically on that house show. Like we had a Mark Henry Undertaker street fight.
Yep. That was the main event, right?
For the house shows, I don't know. It was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat referee and Randy Orton and Kurt Angle.
Yep. What else did you have? Oh, you had the Shawn Michaels and Vince McMahon match, which honestly, looking back at it, wasn't half bad.
That's one thing I gotta give credit to is Mr. McMahon could sit there. He could work when he wanted to.
But those were. It's my number three. What about number two for you, Kevin? What's number two?
Number two for me. Oh, man. Going through a list, just... Ah. This was almost my number one, but Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan. You know, WrestleMania 6. For the fact, the reason is that was the first time they ever did champ versus champ.
Yep.
You know, it set up a lot of changes for, like, even the Macho Man, just everybody in that whole, on that whole card. Careers went different ways. But, I mean, just watching, you know, because growing up, I was a fan of the Warrior. I think almost a lot of people were at that time and era. You know, his run down to the ring, do a shoulder tackle, gorilla press, 1, 2, 3, out. Because he couldn't work because he'd get too winded from running to the ring. But, I mean, you had two faces at a WrestleMania title for title. And you don't really get that anymore. Things like that, you know.
Well, I could
to me, that was just golden.
I could sit there and honestly say the crowd reaction, from my memory, is they were more Ultimate Warrior than they were Hogan.
Yeah.
Even though Hogan was supposed to be a big baby face at the time, there
was
still
So was Warrior 2 at that time. But then when Warrior dropped that Intercontinental title, he paved the way for a lot of the future heavyweight champions to run with that title.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you start naming names. Kurt Hennig didn't go too much further after that, you know, Mr. Perfect. But you got Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart. After that, Matt, after that, that title actually became prestige at that time, I feel.
I agree with you, Kevin.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it's the first time, too, that Hogan lost back-to-back manias. Didn't he lose at 5 with Macho Man?
No, he won against Macho Man.
He in the tournament?
No, he tournament Macho was Man.
Oh, it was 4.
It was 4, yeah, that's right.
The WrestleMania 5 was the Mega Powers Collide.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Sorry, I choked on my Mountain Dew. That's right.
Man, I mean, when you're going back in the day, WrestleMania is everything. Their storylines lasted longer, too.
Yep.
I mean, they would last from one Mania to the next. You know, you had double main event, or, you know, they would main event almost every WrestleMania for a while, you know. You sit there and look at it. Hulk Hogan main evented out of the first, at least.
What, the first 8?
10 of 11. Yeah. Easily 8 of them. You know.
His last one being against Sid at WrestleMania 8. But if you count WrestleMania 9, where he comes at the end and wins the title from Yokozuna, then that's 9 main
events. Yeah, that's 9, but it's kind of one of them. He jumped in late, you know. That's where that storyline comes in, and it's like, wow, you know, you didn't see it coming. That would be my number 2. I mean, I wanted it to be number 1, but there's just so many good WrestleManias, it's hard to pick one.
It is, yeah. Even now, I'm still kind of like, man, memory-wise, I'm like, you know, which one hits home for me? Number 2 for me is going to be WrestleMania 20, though. It's hard to believe this thing was already 20 years ago. I just remember watching it like it was yesterday. And that's where kind of it ties into my number 4. You get the Kane and Undertaker story again, circled back. Even though Lesnar and Goldberg was complete shit, just the hype going into that match was like, oh, cool, finally. Eddie Guerrero, Kurt Angle.
Oh, awesome match.
Triple threat match for the world title. Chris Benoit, Triple H being a bloody mess. And I think you had the 2 Raw and SmackDown tag belts were in like they were both fatal 4-way matches.
That was a stacked card.
Yeah, John Cena winning his first belt. US title, yeah. The only thing that was kind of missing was like a really good women's match. I know they gave Molly Holly and Victoria for the women's title, but I felt like they probably could have won a little bit. That was the hair versus hair match, I think. The hair versus title match.
Back then, they didn't give the women that could wrestle like Victoria, Molly Holly, you know, they didn't give them time to work.
Yeah.
Like they do now, you know. We could have got matches like Rhea Ripley's having right now back in the day if they would have just let them work.
Yeah. And then, like, my underrated match for that card was Chris Jericho, where Trish Stratus betrayed Jericho, and you get the slap.
Yeah.
Well, I think, and that's the one of the most heaviest edited WrestleManias I went back and kind of rewatched. One of the most heaviest re-edited because of the whole Benoit thing. But I was going to ask you guys, I know we're getting into our match predictions with this WrestleMania later. So I'm going to ask the question now, but you guys can answer later. both two very best friends are going into two different title matches this year at WrestleMania with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. You think they might have kind of a Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero moment somewhere in this weekend? You guys can save it now if you want, but I just kind of thought, you know, 20 years later, I thought that would be kind of cool. Not unless they, because I feel like they kind of rehash things every so year, you know, 10 years. But I just kind of, it'd be kind of interesting to see what they do with those two. Because 1 year ago, they were just in one of the biggest tag matches of the year. And, you know, won the main event of the tag team title match. So I was like, surely they're not just going to throw both those guys away this year.
I would see Kevin Owens. I mean, but his match, you know, in that triple threat, that's where it's going to be hard. Sami Zayn, that's hard too. That's hard too. That's later. You can't say now.
Okay. Yeah. But I also didn't know. I'll look in depth into the night one and night two. But it would look pretty cool if there he is. It would look pretty cool if night. My dream scenario, if I could book this thing, would be like if Gunther and Imperium was, you know, Sami Zayn need a little bit of backup for that, and, you know, out. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But that was my number two, was WrestleMania 21. Kevin, what's your number one favorite all-time WrestleMania?
Number one all-time. You kind of took it from me.
Uh-oh.
No, you're good. You're good. Roman Reigns, Triple H, 32.
That's a girthy WrestleMania.
I mean, that's kind of when Triple H kind of passed the torch to everybody, you know. He was done. Type of deal, couldn't do it anymore. And that's when he knew, I guess, Roman Reigns was taking over.
Everybody bashes that main event. I just bashed it a little bit ago about it being too long. But when you sit there and you look at it that way, like, you know, I know
it's
everybody.
The passing of the torch, you know.
I know everybody wanted the Shield main event, the triple threat. Supposedly that was supposed to be the main event. But Seth Rollins got hurt. But I really do appreciate at least that build up to the Authority and Triple H side of things. So, number one for me, WrestleMania 17, April 1st, 2001. Kevin, you already mentioned it with the Limp Bizkit song. Rock Austin 2, Houston, Texas. Austin winning after coming back from his neck surgery in Houston. Man, that WrestleMania to me had everything.
All the storylines went with it. It just was like lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. And if you're like, oh, you know, Rock Austin, that's the only thing you can base it off of. No, you had TLC 2. You had Kurt Angle, Benoit.
TLC 2 was a lot better than most of their ladder matches they ever had. I thought that one was well-paced with Lita and Rhino and Spike Dudley coming out.
See, that's one of the main reasons a lot of people dish on it was because of so much outside interference. I'm like, I feel like it needed it, especially all the stories leading up to it.
Well, they all had a third man that they could count on. Like, the Hardys had Lita, the Edge and Christian had Rhino, and the Dudleys had Spike Dudley. So they all were going to make a play for the belt that night.
You had the McMahon versus McMahon, Triple H, Undertaker.
Yep.
The first time.
Yep. Chris Jericho, Regal, kicking off the show. I mean, looking back at it now, you're like, what? But no, that was a really good Intercontinental title match.
Yeah. Regal's a hell of a performer. He's people just don't understand what type of guy he is, you know.
Yeah. I still think, to me, WrestleMania 17 was just the end-all, be-all. Even the gimmick Battle Royal was a good little, you know, 8-minute pace on the way out, so...
Yeah.
Craig's just now joining us. Craig, you're on mute right now. I can't hear you. But Still can't hear you.
Can't hear you.
What?
What about now?
There we go. Now we
mine was Floyd Mayweather and Big Show.
Oh, WrestleMania 24?
That was my favorite because I spent it with you guys. You and Kyle and Alex.
That's when we'd order the pizza and get everybody over.
WrestleMania pizza, that was the biggest WrestleMania I was ever a part of. That was when Cole took a picture with the diaper on.
Yeah.
That's the memories that I had.
And what's crazy, there was no alcohol involved in that either.
And it was still crazy. Yeah, it was wild. We were like, I mean, I was probably like 13, 14.
Jeez.
So 16. What WrestleMania are we on right now? 45?
40.
40. So you said 24?
Yeah, that was 24.
16 years ago.
True.
So I was 14.
Don't you feel old now?
Yeah, a little bit.
That makes me feel really old.
Hey, I was 3 years old when the first WrestleMania happened, so I'm old as shit.
So we just got done talking our top five WrestleManias. Craig, do you want to have any other mention, or 24 was most memorable for you?
Yes. I mean, off the top of my head, I didn't come up with a list because I didn't know I didn't think I was going to join you guys for this. The other one that was memorable was I think the one in Tampa. Was it Tampa that they did it outside, and it was like kind of raining?
Yeah, was 37, I believe.
Yeah, and they had the little lightning delay.
That one was pretty memorable. Not any specific match, but
did you watch
that the other day?
Did you have any you wanted to mention anymore, or are you good?
Me? No, I'm good.
Jay?
Oh, I'll just go off what you guys say. We can do predictions whenever you're ready.
All right. Before we get into the whole WrestleMania Night 1 and Night 2, guys, the women's Final Four is currently kicking off right now. We haven't talked sports in just a little bit. But the women's, I believe,
South Carolina,
North Carolina State right now.
Yep.
South Carolina is winning by 5 with 1:40 left in the first.
South Carolina is undefeated, right?
Yes.
You guys think they're going to run away with this one? And who's your Final Four female predictions?
South Carolina. I don't know. Iowa, Caitlin Clark's kind of hard to stop right now.
She's the Thanos of the women's college basketball.
She's popular right now. I don't see anybody beating South Carolina. I got South Carolina beating NC State, making it the national championship, which is Sunday, right?
I believe so.
Sunday at 2 p.m. on ABC, ESPN. And then I have UConn beating Iowa.
See, that's so, where I don't know.
That Paige Buchers, however you
Beckers or whatever her name is,
versus Caitlin Clark is gonna be pretty good. Maybe pretty good.
I was reading the views for that LSU Iowa game, and they scored almost 14 million. That's more than any baseball game of last year.
Yep.
Any NFL game, regular season game, that's unheard of for women's college basketball. And I'm happy for them.
It was the buildup from last year. I mean, everybody wanted to see what was going to happen. Everybody not just the end result, but, you know, what happened between the whistle, you know, so.
Yeah, between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, you know, a lot of.
LSU added Haley Van Lith, which almost, I'm not going to say single-handedly, she was the main part of Louisville making their run a couple years ago and last year. So you thought adding her was going to be, you know, LSU had the advantage last year. They're going to have the advantage again this year. And Caitlin Clark balled out, man. Her stat line was insane. Angel Reese is a bona fide star. She's going to be good in the WNBA or wherever she chooses. But yeah, I mean, like somebody was talking about it on ESPN, and there was two clear cut people above the rest on that court. It was Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. So,
yep.
She's good enough to where, what's his name? Ice Cube wants to offer $10 million
for. It was $5
million. $5 million for 10 games. So,
yep. And she would only make $80,000 in WNBA max.
You know, yeah, I mean, base contract, yes. You know, she might get the face, not the face, but one of the faces of Nike or Under Armour, whichever one, you know, she signs with. But I think there's a lot of if she goes big three, I think she does it for the 1 year and then maybe goes to the NBA. I don't know, because you don't want to ruin your – you don't want to burn a bridge with the WNBA before you even make it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, no, I mean, she's,
she'll be set either way, though.
Either way. And I think I would, if I, this is my opinion on her. You could be that face of the WNBA that could change everything, what these females been wanting. She could be that one, you know.
Plus, you go to the, you know, you go to the big three, you don't
have, it's three on three, half court.
It could be a blessing. It could be a curse. You know,
yeah, exactly.
You could really get exposed, and it could really be something that tears down your career. And then the other side of that coin is she goes to the big three. She won't be able to continue any sort of rivalry with Angel Reese. I mean, I know they said that they're friends, but let's be honest. I think it's a I think they both acknowledge the fact that what they did was almost – WWE-ish. It was good for the sport, as we all saw with the 12-plus million watching. But, yeah, no, it, that was outside of watching OU WNBA or W women's college basketball games. That was the only one I watched start to finish. So,
oh, they, I just heard all the hype about it. They put so much hype. I didn't watch the game, but I didn't have to because everywhere I turned, I heard about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Man, it was good. It was really good. So, outside of that, you have Oklahoma and Texas for you locally, you know, local listeners. In softball, number one versus number five, Oklahoma is currently up 2-0 in the top of the fifth. Scratch that, make it 5-0. T.R. Jennings, not T.R. Jennings. Somebody just hit a home run for OU, so.
They're pretty dominant in softball.
Yeah. I mean, they lost quite a bit of talent, and they're just rocking and rolling again.
And don't ever count them out. They can be down by 3, 4, or 5, and they just
– yeah. Jada Coleman, by the way. It was hard to see her running around. Yeah, Jada Coleman, 5-0 in that. A couple things around the NBA. You know, Oklahoma City's on the top of the West. They lose a couple games with Shai Gilgeous being out. All of a sudden, they're number three.
Yeah.
Seems like Golden State has kind of taken the reins of that 10th seed, 10th and final seed for the play-in spot. 6 through 10 is not set because they're only a game and a half or a couple, you know, a half a game to two games outside of six. So,
yeah,
6 to 10 could change, or maybe 6 to 9, but six to nine is all kind of a coin flip at the moment.
This weekend and this week coming up early week will determine the NBA.
Yeah,
Western Conference pretty much. Eastern's already set with Boston dismantling OKC.
Yeah, I would say 5 to 9. You're not safe. You don't have none of those teams have a guaranteed spot. Los Angeles is 2.5 games behind the Mavericks, which is the fifth seed. We got 6 to 8 games.
5 to 6 games.
I think Golden State's kind of sealed that 10 spot. And then, 5 to 9, you're fighting for your life to stay out of that play-in. Top of the West, Oklahoma City is a game back of Minnesota at the one spot. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see what happens with Shai coming back. They're currently playing Indiana and down 7 with 6 minutes to go in the second. Boston, Sacramento, Portland, Washington, Orlando, Charlotte. What do you guys think about the MVP race? Do you guys think that with Shea being out four of these last five games, it's hurt his chances, or is it really shown that he is the main piece for that big run that Oklahoma City has with them losing four of the last five?
If he comes back and plays and they can take that one seed, I think he should get it. It shows his value. That's what an MVP is. You know, you're the most valuable player to the team. If they just go mediocre and try to rest and save for the playoffs, it's jokers. That's the thing. I mean, SGA, I love them. I love them.
Well, I lied. They're 3-4 in their last seven. So, Shea kind of being out in those 5-6 games, it's really shown, you know, his worth, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, no, I completely agree on that. And, I mean, ain't he still the league scoring leader right now?
I believe so. Average-wise, he's like top three. He's top five or ten in steals in all users, probably top three in point guards. Yep. I mean, he's having a terrific season. So you're looking
he's a guy that came from nowhere. Nobody expected it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Jalen Williams has had a really good season this year. Chet Holmgren coming in has had a really good season in his first year. But you're looking at a team that was 10th in the West last year, playing in the play-in spot, and then, you know, didn't really make the playoffs, to turn it around and have, you know, just a couple days ago be the one seed and clinch the first playoff spot in the West. You got to look at the guy who drives the bus and kind of see that it's him that's doing all this. But now he just has help on the side to not get beat by, you know, other teams throughout the year. So,
yeah,
tremendous basketball being played across the NBA. Great games a couple of days ago with the Suns and the Mavericks. Boston's the real deal. They have depth from top to bottom, scoring at all five positions. It'll be fun seeing the playoffs come and seeing who's going to play who.
Final four. Did you guys already talk final four men's?
Not yet. Before we get to that, real quick, did you guys see the hockey drop the puck? Everybody drop the gloves and just started the Rangers and the Devils. Man. the only like not the only thing, but the only sport that is just like let them
get away with kicking somebody's ass.
Yeah. They sat in the box and they were just laughing about it. So, but men's final four. Men's final four, man. I'm going to be the first to say that I did not expect NC State to be there.
Oh, they're on a hell of a run.
Yeah. Burns is becoming a bona fide star, a big household name. I mean, UConn, everybody kind of expected them top one of the top teams throughout the year, Purdue as well. But Alabama, you know, I want to say that West quadrant was one of the more questionable ones as to who you thought was going to be coming out of there. And I mean,
Alabama lost two or three players to the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, and still turn around and make this little run.
Yeah. You know, and everybody was saying, oh, the Big 12, you know, I was one of them. I was saying top to bottom, the games during the year, the Big 12 has some of the best teams. You got no Big 12 teams in the Final Four. you got an ACC, you got an SEC, Big 10. And
Big 10.
And then a Big East. But you look at that, and it's like Bama, Tennessee. in the Elite Eight. So, you know, some people were saying OU and Texas are going to have it easier in the SEC next year. Maybe not so much.
No, it's going to be a challenge. All sports for them. It will be a challenge once.
Yeah.
That's a big conference, and the thing is, they play hard.
Yeah. You get a lot of talent that goes to that conference. So
yep.
Regardless of standings or team's positions, you're going to have a lot of talent on the court at all times or field.
I don't know if we'll be on Monday before the national championship game. That's going to be up to you guys if you want to. Do you guys want to predict just the Final Four or the national championship as well today?
Give me UConn, Purdue. I think Burns has had a really good run, but Zach Edey's kind of proven himself to be that kind of talent in college. I don't know how he'll translate to the NBA, give me UConn, Purdue, and then give me UConn to win it all, man.
See, I got UConn winning it all, even in my bracket. So, I mean, UConn, they can score all the way around. They play decent defense. If they can shut Edney down, then they have a chance, which they can score anyway, you know. If Purdue has an off-night shooting in a championship game, if they make it there, though, too, you know, that's the other thing.
Well,
UConn can play.
I'll say this. If Zach Edey gets 20-plus free throws again –
oh, they're definitely, yeah.
I don't think UConn's beating Purdue unless they're doing like a hack a shack type of thing, which I think might be banned or outlawed now. I know NBA kind of did away with that a little bit somehow, but
yeah, everywhere you turn the last game, Edney was at the free throw line.
Yeah.
And he's averaging a double double by halftime, you know, so it's like
And it's not like UConn's just like barely winning these games and they're the best team. They're blowing these people out.
The last 2 years, their average win is by like 20.
It's insane.
Yeah. They've won three of them this year by 30 and the last one by 10.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's ridiculous. They're putting points up that's unheard of, and their defense. Their defense is outstanding. But Edney's a different type of guy in that block that they haven't seen, really.
And kind of going back just a little bit further, you know, we talked about Tennessee and Creighton and how that game was going to shake out. Tennessee almost proved me right. They had that big lead. They were up about 15, 17 in the second half. Almost had a collapse like they did against Texas. Game got really close towards the end. Creighton had a couple chances to take it. Tennessee ended up winning that one. Obviously, they ended up losing to Purdue, so it doesn't really matter. But Clemson had a really good run. I didn't think they were going to beat Arizona, so props to them. Illinois had a really good run. It was just good to see teams that nobody kind of, you know, they were good throughout the year. They had a high seeding, but to be able to see them kind of come out and do some stuff like they did, it's fun to see. That's why you love March Madness.
You know, two of the teams that are in the Final Four right now, NC State, nobody expected that, really.
No.
Or Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, Purdue, they finally got over their tournament problem.
Yeah.
You know, their little bad jinx or whatever you want to call it. UConn, you knew they were going to be there. So if Alabama and NC State can pull these games out, that'd be an interesting championship game.
A Bama NC State championship. I think that would be one of the most unique championships in the past 20 years. I know the Butler championships were kind of weird. The Butler Duke, I believe.
Yeah.
Those were kind of weird, but I mean, other than
this that, one would be different. This would be different. It would be different.
Especially with it being a 4-11, you know, even though Butler was in the championship, I believe they were a pretty decent seed.
Virginia game, 4 or 5,
kind of is one of those games where you're like two names that you didn't really expect to be there. But, if those two pull off some upsets, not only are they low seeds, but it's two number one seeds that a lot of people have winning the tournament. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You guys want to talk the little Diggs trade before we head on to Mania predictions? Buffalo's cleaning house. I think this is the last year of the Josh Allen era. if you want my honest opinion, if he don't get it done, if he don't get it, I'll go.
Yeah, if he can't get it going, I mean, it's like why continue down that road of. See, but that's the thing. Like, you were so close multiple times. You just happened to play the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's not like you can go out and get another Josh Allen. You know, yeah. Even though he's not Patrick Mahomes, he's still a top five quarterback in the NFL.
They left him almost nobody now. You know,
yeah, I mean, Gabe Davis is gone. Stephon Diggs is gone.
His defense has been completely rearranged and depleted.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I understand that you're sitting there and saying, okay, we can't keep having the same results with the same team year after year. We need to make changes. Those changes need to equate to something. You can't go to the draft and expect to get a Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson out of this draft. It's just these things just don't drop into your lap. And so it's a little, you know, mind-blowing to me. But Houston, everybody thought Houston was dead in the water. You know, when Dallas Goedert went there, or not Dallas Goedert, the Cowboys tight end went there. I was like, why are you going to Houston?
Oh, Schultz.
Dude? Schultz.
He's a good tight end.
And then C.J. Stroud comes in. The head coach comes in. They look solid all last year. They get Joe Mixon. They get Stephon Diggs.
Well, then I heard how they're doing with Diggs. This is your 1 year to play. If you want to get paid, here you go.
Let's not to mention they're in one of the easiest divisions in football.
Jags, Colts, Titans.
Jacksonville's not doing so well. The Colts still don't know what they have with their quarterback. And the Titans are completely just erratic.
Yeah.
The Titans are done, yeah.
Would you almost consider that an easier division than the NFC South at the moment?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
The NFC South, I mean, you still.
Because you're looking at Tampa.
It's not a given to Tampa anymore either.
No.
Let's face right. it. You don't know what Baker Mayfield you're going to get. You don't know what.
Easy there. Baker, when healthy, has played pretty damn good.
You still don't know what Baker you're going to get. You don't know what Tampa you're going to get. If Derek Carr can just hit it, we know he's a good quarterback, and you can't count the Saints out.
Falcons got Kirk Thuggins.
Exactly. So, I think the AFC South is probably the weakest division right now in the game.
Yeah, I agree with that. The NFC South has the biggest question mark of like
everybody.
Everybody, yeah. I think every other division's kind of.
We didn't even bring up the Panthers in the NFC South.
You don't want to bring them up.
Yeah. No.
But the only question mark Houston has right now is, will CJ Stroud have that sophomore slump?
Yeah.
If he doesn't, I think they win at least 10 games, win the division.
Yeah, I mean,
I could see him. Yeah.
It would be interesting
to win in the division.
It would be interesting to go back and kind of dissect their season and see how many games they might have won that they shouldn't have won, vice versa.
Yep.
And see where they actually stood, because they didn't get worse this offseason. That's for sure.
I think you hit it now. I think that would be a good way to lead into the NFL offseason. I think we could maybe dissect an NFL team once a week. That'd be pretty fun to do until this season kicks off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Or at least not if not a team, maybe we can break down a division weekly.
Yeah, I mean, so just kind of real quick, 23-19 Colts to end the year. Tennessee, they dismantled. Cleveland, they lost.
Let's also look at that last Colts game. If it wasn't for that drop pass, that's a game Indianapolis should have won.
Yeah. But they're still in the playoffs even if they win that, right?
Nope.
Or if they lose that?
That was for the AFC South title.
I
don't. So Colts make that fourth down play. They catch that. Houston Cinderella season doesn't even happen. And that was with Gardner Minshew, too.
Man. Yeah, looking at this schedule, there was a string of seven games where they barely won. So it was like lost 15-13 to Carolina, beat Tampa 39-37, which they should have lost. Beat Cincinnati 30-27, beat Arizona 21-16, lost to Jacksonville 24-21, beat Denver 22-17, beat the Jets 30-6, or lost to the Jets 30-6, beat Tennessee 19-16.
Now there's more tape on Stroud.
Now there's more tape.
That's where D'Amico Ryans is going to have that defense. Yeah, you brought in Diggs. You know, you got your running back, things like that. But there's tape out there on your quarterback. I'm not getting me wrong. He's good. He is very good. But there's tape out there.
Between October 8th and January 6th, the final regular season game, they won one game by more than seven. So, like I said, you want to look at a team where obviously they didn't get worse this offseason, but did they have some games that maybe went in their favor that probably could have went the other way? About seven of those games did. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next year for them.
Yep. Good old Houston. Some may argue they're not the most popular. They're now the most popular team in Texas now.
After the dumpster fire Jerry Jones is putting together.
And wait till they play Dallas in Dallas. Oh. Possible.
Hey now.
You're a rock star.
That's another conversation for another week. Speaking of another week, don't forget next week we'll pop up someday. We'll either be on Monday before the national championship game, Wednesday. I'm shooting for next Wednesday, though. We can talk some more sports next Wednesday with you guys. Other than that, let's run down night one, night two of WrestleMania. We'll give our little thoughts and predictions. If everybody's good with that.
I'm good with it.
I'm back. Something I could talk about.
Let's start off with night one. I don't know if this is in order, but this is all the matches that are taking place on night one. Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch for the Women's World Championship. I got Rhea Ripley.
I got Ripley.
Ripley.
I'll take Ripley as well.
Gunther, Sami Zayn, Intercontinental Championship. I want Sami Zayn to win. I'm going to go for Sami.
It's Gunther. He's going to continue this historic reign.
I say Gunther, but maybe your money in the bank might cash in.
Oh, okay. That's a good prediction. I like that.
I have no dog in that fight.
Just take a guess.
You're rocking that Sami's beard.
I like the money in the bank thing, so I'm gonna go with him. I like that idea.
You got the 6-pack tag team ladder match for the undisputed tag team titles. Judgment Day's Finn Balor and Damian Priest versus DIY versus The Awesome Truth, The Miz and R-Truth versus Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods versus Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, and then versus Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. Michael Cole made an interesting statement last Monday when he said both titles have to be ripped down in order for the team to win. Do you guys think there might be one person from one team here and another person from another team here, and they split the belts again? That's
possible.
That's my theory since Michael Cole made that statement. But I'm going to go DIY. I think they get their Mania moment after 10 years.
Oh, I'm going to go with Finn Balor and Damian Priest winning. The rest of those
awesome
guys
truth.
Don't sound it.
I can see
awesome people. Truth.
Whichever team Kofi Kingston's on.
That's
my guy.
None of us, Jay, you said Judgment Day, right? Oh,
yeah, Judgment Day's going to keep it.
I'm surprised none of us had little mystery tag team entering that match. I don't for sure. Brother versus brother. I'm surprised they didn't do no stipulation for this as of yet. Maybe something's announced tonight on SmackDown. Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. I think everybody's expecting Jay, so I'm gonna go Jimmy.
I'm gonna say Jimmy as well, just because of the way it's been set up, the storyline. Jimmy has to pull it off. I don't know.
I'm gonna go Jay. Main event, Jay.
I'll go Jimmy.
Uso. 6-woman tag match, Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi versus Damage Control's Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. Give me Jade Cargill for the pin and the win.
Oh, yeah, I see that happening as well. That team's going over big time.
This is where Jade approved herself at WrestleMania a little bit, why it took her a while to get there. And it probably set up a match for SummerSlam between her and Bianca.
I missed it, so I'll skip. I was interrupted.
Tag team match, Latino World Order, which I think they need to just do away with this. Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos and Dirty Dom. Give me Dirty Dom for the win.
I'm gonna agree with you there. I'm gonna take Dirty Dom and Escobar to win.
Dirty Dom.
Yep. Give me some Dom. Give me some family.
And then the main event for night one, The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. If Rhodes wins, all the members of the Bloodline will be barred from ringside on night two. If The Rock and Roman Reigns wins, the championship match on night two is Bloodline rules. Give me The Rock, Pitt, and Cody.
I'll agree with you there because I think they have a match coming up at SummerSlam.
I have to take Roman and The Rock because I think Rollins will turn on him like that.
Oh, we got a turn.
Hey, did my boy Cody Rhodes dirty the other day? Give me Cody Rhodes.
What would JR say? They whipped him like a government mule.
they have to have a little bit more adversity for Cody Rhodes' match, so he's going to need the Bloodline Rules match. It's going to be that completely.
Night number two, there's only 6 matches slated. There might be some surprises, maybe a little. I heard that there's supposed to be a Lil Wayne performance as well, so Lil Wayne will be there. I've even heard that maybe Lil Wayne might help sing Jey Uso to the ring too. That might be pretty cool. So night two is Sunday. Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight Championship. Who's winning? I'll let Kevin, you go first.
Drew. I'm taking Drew. Seth's going to get some time off that he needs for a little bit. So, and Drew get his WrestleMania moment finally in a live crowd.
Kevin basically said what I was going to say.
I'll take Drew as well.
I'll take Drew, but this is where the Money in the Bank comes in. I think Priest will cash in on Drew after he wins. Yeah. Oh. Number two, Io Sky, Bayley. Io Sky's champion. Bayley's challenging for the women's championship. Who you got, Kevin?
Bayley.
I got Bayley as well.
Give me Bayley.
Give me that hug. I think Bayley has her WrestleMania moment too. First singles match for Bayley at a WrestleMania. Interesting. You think we'll see any Bayley buddies?
She might come back out to that entrance.
Yeah, I'd like to see some Bayley buddies. I think the Philadelphia crowd might boo her out of the building though if she does.
Yeah. No brotherly love. No sister love.
This match is being built to be like a real, real personal. They just had like a little thing at the WrestleMania Access thing earlier today. LA Knight, AJ Styles.
I seen that skirmish. That was pretty decent. It looked like a real fist fight.
It did. Kevin, go first.
I don't really want to go against my boy, but I think Knight's going to beat AJ.
I'll agree with Kevin. I think LA Knight needs to win more than AJ does. AJ could take a loss and heal from it, whereas LA Knight needs that win. He hasn't been able to win a match in the last few matches that he's wrestled on pay-per-view. So he needs that win.
I don't like AJ Styles, so give me LA Knight.
What? I'll be the one to differ. I think AJ wins the match. I think LA Knight's fuse is blown out, man. I don't know what they do with him after this, but I think he takes a loss. So
AJ Styles' little goatee don't do it for me. He's always had that face I don't like.
Rumors also saying that AJ might debut a new song at Mania, so that might be pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, if it's a good song, I might switch. All right.
Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, triple threat match for the United States Championship. Logan Paul enters as champion. Who you got, Kevin?
Kevin Owens.
I'm going to go Logan Paul.
Ooh.
Logan Paul.
Man, it's a tough one. It's Randy Orton's first WrestleMania back since being out for almost 2 years, but I still got to go Kevin Owens. I think he needs it. Randy Orton can always still lose this match and go after a world title after that. That's just the Orton name, yeah. I guess. Maybe the most underrated looking match on the card, the Pride, Bobby Lashley and Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford versus the Final Testament, Karrion Kross, Akam and Rezar versus the Philadelphia Street Fight.
Bobby Lashley and his team. He was upset that he missed WrestleMania last year or didn't have a match. And so I guess that's how they pay him back, you know, type of deal. Karrion Kross just, he don't sell me on TV. No matter what gimmick they gave him.
I'm going to go with Kevin, even the whole gimmick thing with Karrion Kross. Scarlett's the gimmick. That's it. Scarlett's the main thing there in their little team. And personally, I could care less about this match. It's just one of those filler matches to get everybody on the card. But I'm going to go with Kevin that it's Bobby Lashley's year to win because he went on the show last year.
Which match is this?
Six-man tag match. Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus the Final Testament, Karrion Kross and the AOP.
Give me Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say Bobby Lashley as well. But I think this could be a little bit more extreme than people think. So
yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Let's hope for a good decent match. And then main event, the almost 4 year title reign of Roman Reigns entering as champion versus Cody Rhodes.
Cody's gonna take it. But I think there's something behind the curtain with this whole thing. I just really do. You know, I mean, when I say behind the curtain, you never know if Brock Lesnar could show up. Because it's been rumored, you know, something could happen. But I think Cody's going to get that title, finish the story. You know, what they've been trying to do.
No cash in on him?
No, like I said, I think Damian's going to cash in on Gunther. Because even Rhea said today in an interview, he don't have to go after a heavyweight title. And it's been rumored that he possibly could go after the IC title. Because I just don't think he's heavyweight material just yet. I mean, he's got the capability of doing it, but he's just not in that storyline yet.
They did tease that Imperium Judgment Day a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it's their way of getting him in the spotlight with the belt, but not in that division because he's not ready.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go with Cody Rhodes winning it all. He's going to finish his story. It's going to be under bloodline rules. But I'm going to sit there and say there is no cash in because that's going to be Cody's first feud as Damian Priest before he gets The Rock. That's going to be his backlash. And, well, I don't know if he'll be his backlash opponent, but I know that the show after that backlash will be. That'll definitely probably be his opponent. I can see that.
It'd be so Cody Rhodes. Time off. Yeah, Cody Rhodes. Because I don't like Roman Reigns.
I don't know, man. I feel like they want everybody to say Cody Rhodes. My personal opinion, what I want to see happen is I want to see Cody Rhodes finish the story, obviously. I want to see that WrestleMania 10 moment with Bret Hart holding it up finally. I want to see that WrestleMania 20 moment with Benoit holding it up. Daniel Bryan at 30. It's got to be Cody Rhodes finishing the story, right? It's got to, the biggest WrestleMania, WrestleMania 40, has to end with him dethroning the Thanos, right? It has to. I don't know, with everything that the documentary being released on Roman Reigns, Triple H a few days ago saying we're about to enter a whole new stage of the WWE.
Cody's bus catches fire.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes trademarking the Renaissance era. Everything is pointing for you, you know, pointing for the spoilers that Cody Rhodes finishes the story. You know, like, I'm with Jay. I think The Rock pins Cody. I think Cody wins the world title. I think The Rock challenges Cody at SummerSlam. Roman Reigns doesn't like that, screws The Rock over, and then I think that sets up The Rock and Roman for next year. That's what I want to see happen.
I'll agree with you there, Juan. I think that sounds pretty decent.
But yeah, I'd like to see him finish the story. I want to see him and his brother in the ring. The city of brotherly love. Rocky couldn't do it against Apollo Creed. I think all that comes into play. I think they're going to have some kind of a...
try to make it really upsell it.
And... yeah, I think.
So, and they're in Philadelphia. You said Rocky.
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
the underdog story, I know that's got to come into play somehow. You don't just, you know... it's the greatest
Philadelphia.
Script ever,
yeah.
It's the greatest script ever told. It's cinema.
We make movies.
Yeah.
That's what Vince McMahon says. We make movies.
So I think that would be pretty awesome. So who knows? Well, by the time we talk to you guys next Wednesday, we'll be able to talk everything that happened, Monday Night Raw results, biggest Monday Night Raw in history, Monday night after WrestleMania. Other than that, guys, I'm excited. Best weekend of the year, Final Four, SmackDown's on right now. The Hall of Fame kicks off in just an hour and a half. Let's go see Paul Heyman get inducted. Let's all go cry. Let's go cry. How about that? So
that's not a prediction. That's a spoiler.
There we go. Before we get out of here, does anybody want to add anything else?
I'll add a couple of things real quick. They had NXT's Charlie Dempsey and Shayna Baszler compete this weekend at Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. And there were multiple WWE superstars in the building. They had CM Punk was there to watch, Natalya, and a couple others were there to watch.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Braun Strowman, Nia Jax.
Yeah. But other than that, I'm good.
Any other maybe predictions or kind of, you know, what do you guys read into the whole MJF tease? I know some people say he's already signed with AEW, but there's also people saying, oh, no. Do you guys see him bouncing around anywhere this weekend?
No.
No. It's Triple H's pony right now. It depends what he wants to let out.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's on Triple H right now. Like he said, everything will change this weekend, even after WrestleMania. Everything's changing.
He said you never know. Beginning of the end. It was the end of the beginning.
Yep.
So, should be interesting. SmackDown's on now. Hall of Fame tonight. You guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the Final Four. Enjoy WrestleMania. We'll talk to you guys next week. And don't forget, Sunday, Iron Claw, A24. WrestleMania Sunday. See you guys then. Have a good weekend.
All right. Later.
Peace. Boom. You're down 5-0, buddy.